This was the first time a serving Pakistani army chief was formally received at the White House by a sitting US president. Previous meetings between US presidents and Pakistani military leaders occurred only after those Pakistani military leaders had become heads of state after coups. The lunch took place in the White House cabinet room and lasted about 2 hours. It was a closed-door event with no press in attendance, which further underlines its unusual and high-level nature. Apart from Trump and Munir, the meeting also included US Secretary of State Marco Rubio and Washington's Special Envoy to Middle East, Steve Witkoff. That means if the Special Envoy to Middle East is present at the meeting, that definitely means it has something to do with Iran. And we also cannot rule out the possibility that this meeting between the US President and Pakistan's Army Chief is happening right after the Pehlgam terror attack and Operation Sindoor. Now, if you look at the US President and Pakistani Army Chief, they both need each other and they are also drama kings. You remember Trump was saying to the press that he had played a mediator role between India and Pakistan ceasefire, and this claim was rejected by the Indian government right away. It is just reckless talk. Say whatever you want, we will see what happens later. And this Pakistani Army Chief and the Prime Minister were congratulating themselves after Operation Sindoor. They even promoted Asim Munir to Field Marshal. I mean, after taking such a heavy beating, they are celebrating on their own. Just because they need to build a narrative on the internet, they don't care about what's actually happening on the ground, as long as everything looks perfect online. And then Asim Munir recommended Trump for the Nobel Peace Prize because of his role in preventing a nuclear conflict between India and Pakistan. That is why I said they both need each other. Only then they will feel complete, at least in this part of the world. Anyhow, let me tell you about the strategic context of Asim Munir's visit to White House. When you look at the map of Iran, who sits on the right side of Iran? Pakistan and Afghanistan. Pakistan also has a coastline along the Arabian Sea, which United States has used numerous times to enter Pakistan whenever they had to. United States has used Pakistan's airspace and seaports multiple times, especially during military operations in the region. Pakistan doesn't have the audacity to say no to United States. Post 9/11 Afghanistan war 2001 onwards, United States heavily relied on Karachi port to supply NATO troops in Afghanistan. Then United States have used the Shamsi airbase in Balochistan for drone operations and airstrikes. Then Osama bin Laden raid in Abbottabad. US Navy SEALs went out of Pakistan's airspace from south. They had the USS Carl Vinson aircraft carrier stationed in the North Arabian Sea on May 2, 2011. So overall, what I'm saying is that the United States Navy fleets are present in the Arabian Sea, and Pakistan's coastal entrance is the way to go for any US military operations. Now, when a US president chooses to meet or invite Pakistan's army chief, instead of the prime minister or president, it is a clear message that the real power in Pakistan lies with the military, especially the army and the ISI. There should be no more doubt regarding this from now on. Civilian government often rotate, but the military ensures continuity of strategic policies, especially in matters of nuclear command, counter-terrorism, foreign alliances, and internal control. And it also means that the United States now has a renewed interest in engaging directly with Pakistan's military leadership, because they are the one who have control over militant groups near the borders. The real goal of the United States is to utilize the Pakistani military as a private military contractor, PMC, not for peace building or development, but to carry out the dirty geopolitical work that advances America's strategic interests without direct involvement, making those interests more secure and deniable. So, as I said, there are two reasons why Asim Munir was invited to White House. Number one, regarding India-Pakistan ceasefire, and number two, Iran-Israel conflict. Personally, I'm weighing more towards the second reason, because think about it. If Trump or any US administration had serious covert plans against India, they would never advertise it by publicly inviting Pakistan's army chief and making headlines. The CIA or Pentagon would never recommend such clumsy moves, because that would compromise the secrecy and trigger immediate diplomatic and media backlash. Geopolitical moves against a strategic partner like India are done in shadows, through back channels, proxies, or strategic pressure, not by waving flags saying, "Look who we invited." Now, publicly inviting General Asim Munir is a signal, not a conspiracy. It might be to rebalance ties, keep Pakistan in play, or pressure India on certain policies, example arms deals, trade with Russia, etc. But then it is not a direct evidence of an anti-India plot. If anything, it is a reminder that the US foreign policy is always self-interested and flexible, not loyal to any one partner. Plus, with India, US earns huge trade money. So, United States is not going to do any conspiracy against India by making headlines. A little bit of talks might happen, but nothing major that I can think of. Now, the Indian intelligence and diplomatic agencies can analyze these moves deeply. So, United States knows that India can read signals. Now, if you look at the second reason, we know that Pakistan has officially condemned Israel's recent strikes on Iran. And as an Islamic country, they don't like Jews and they have expressed solidarity with Iran. But don't mistake this solidarity for likeness towards Iran. Iran is a Shia country and Pakistan is a Sunni country. Shia and Sunni Muslims have major differences and they don't get along with each other. The US intelligence community is very aware of Sunni-Shia divide and has used it as a strategic tool in Middle East geopolitics. During the Iraqi war, US alliances have shifted between Sunni tribes and Shia militias, depending on their objective. Now this much is clear, right? Now let's look at the map. Pakistan has a 900 plus kilometer border with Iran's Sistan-Balochistan province. Now there are some active Sunni-Baloch separatist groups like Jaish-e-Adal operating in the Sistan-Balochistan province, and they often target Iranian security forces. So basically, there is an ongoing cross-border tensions between Iran and Pakistan, mainly because of Sunni-Shia rivalry. Now think about it. If CIA and Mossad has to conduct multiple operations inside Iran, including sabotage, assassinations, and cyber attacks, which they have already done, but suppose they want a covert access into Iran, don't you think Pakistan's loosely controlled border areas in Balochistan offer an ideal infiltration route? And then Iran has many times accused Israel, the United States and Gulf allies of funding or supporting Sunni-Baloch separatist groups operating in the Sistan-Balochistan province. Now Pakistan has a fear. What if this Israel-Iran conflict spills into its own territory? You must have heard recently what Trump said. Openly warned Iranians to flee and evacuate their country. Now if a military escalation begins, whatever that Trump is hinting at, then Iran's eastern border will become a strategic escape route for Iranian refugees. For Pakistan, this is a risk of direct spillover. Now, do you think Pakistan's army chief went to the White House to discuss this concern? Always remember this point. Weak countries don't get to raise concerns. They get orders on what role they will play. Pakistani General Asim Muni's visit to the White House was to, number one, get aligned with upcoming US strategic operations in case Iran conflict escalates. Number two, receive instructions on what role Pakistan might be expected to play. Number three, open and secure land routes through Balochistan. Number 4, assist in surveillance, intelligence or logistic flows. And number 5, possibly host certain operations or remain passive while United States and Israel carry out strikes. Pakistan's army chief is not being consulted, he is being positioned. The visit was not for concern sharing but for operational alignment. But all of this is carefully covered in diplomatic language. And remember, United States always deals with the Pakistani army, not its civilian government, when it comes to sensitive military cooperation. So this is the reason why the Pakistani army chief was called into the White House. I hope you found this video informative. I'll see you in the next one.